everybody. It's good old JR Jim Ross, a member of multiple Halls of Fame and the voice of AEW Wrestling. And you're listening to Bad Medicine Podcast. You're going to love it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming to you once again live from the 13th floor of Nakatomi Plaza, broadcasting from the Wayland Corporation Studios, overlooking the crystal clear waters of Lake Winnebago. We got a very special podcast for you today. Of course, I've got my man to my left here, the guy who never met a coupon he didn't like, Diamond Dave Damone. I am Mason Quinn. This is the Bad Medicine Podcast. Our very special guest for you is a man who, well, he can change his name, but he can't change his stripes. I'm going to keep calling him Ben McCoy.
There you go. Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
What's going on, bud?
You guys have gotten a lot of practice, and that intro was pretty professional. That was top notch.
It was. I felt like I should have gave you a little bit more because, ladies and gentlemen, Ben McCoy, you may thank him for his service whenever you like, being a veteran. And make sure you check him out on all his wrestling shows he has all over the Midwest. Great entertainer, great shows, top-notch stuff. Can't recommend it enough. There's my intro for you. Let's get started.
Mr. Frontline Pro himself.
Oh, Lord. I've heard that one. That's kind of a new one lately.
Yeah.
I've been hearing that a little bit lately. That's what's always weird when people like give you a name and you're just like, I don't know what to do about that. Like, thank you. But at the same time, you don't want to be too happy about it because you don't want to be a pretentious ass. So
it's you might better. As well. Everybody else in the business is. Why would you be any different? So, hey, the big news, we got it on the board behind us. Let's jump right into it. Mr. Monday Night, Rob Van Dam. Is coming to Honor Bound.
That is
Frontline Pro. Now, for my money, I mean, we've been seeing Rob Van Dam forever, and the guy must have some of the stuff that Uncle Jesse has from Full House, because RVD has not aged in the 20 years that I can remember watching. The guy's in phenomenal shape. He can still go, can still do all the crazy stuff that only Rob Van Dam can do. I mean, that jump kick he does off the top rope and the way he lands, how he doesn't blow out ACLs every single time he does it is amazing to me. So truly an athlete who can do it like none other. And I think that's why we're going to see the upcoming icon on him from the WWE Network on Peacock, as well as a bunch of other stories they're going to have. So tell us, how did it happen? How were you fortunate enough and had room in his schedule to get RVD?
So it was never supposed to happen. It completely fell into my lap. It was by complete accident. We had ran Frontline Pro number 1 3 years ago. We actually, funny enough that you mention it today, right here, right now, today is the actual 3 year to the date anniversary of Frontline Pro.
Yeah, I told you we'd plan that.
3 years ago today. We ran our very first show in Spencer, Wisconsin at the Spencer Kids Group. And, changed everything. It was a great way to start. We got to work with the Brady Oberg Legacy Foundation. Brady was a soldier I got to serve with in Afghanistan, who unfortunately lost his battle with PTSD and took his own life. We have a memorial foundation for him now that we work very closely with his widow and his mom and his dad. They're wonderful people. They do great stuff for our veterans. And we couldn't be more proud than to start off with that. It meant so much. And, then we just kind of kept the ball rolling. It was really just supposed to be a one-time thing. But when we did that, I actually met a guy named Eric Beach, who wound up being a filmmaker, who is actually also a military veteran. Eric and I get along. We kind of shoot the shit for a little bit. And the next thing you know, we're talking about maybe doing this documentary. And at first, it was just supposed to be like an episodic. We were going to do like a three-part episode thing of like 45 minutes total. Okay. And by the time we started talking about the storyboarding and looking at what we would do with the documentary, we had, I think it was like 195 minutes of stuff written out. And we still had like 5 or 6 things we didn't put in. So immediately we were like, well, we knew this was going to happen. Luckily for me, Eric had a ton of contacts out in Hollywood and in the industry. And we were actually connect with a guy named Tim Abel, who's an actor out there. He was in We Were Soldiers with Mel Gibson and a couple of other high profile movies. He actually did a movie with Rob out there. So through Tim Abel, who is our executive producer, when we told Tim about my story and stuff, Tim was all on board, wanted to be the first executive producer for it. And said that he thought that there was other people that were like-minded that wanted to have the opportunity to be in on the same project. Sure. And the next thing you know, it's a week and a half later, and it's a Wednesday night at 11 o'clock, and I'm on a four-way call with Rob Van Dam and my director, Eric, and Tim Abel. And we just kind of talked about the film and the script, and Rob really wanted to know a lot. And it was really cool because he could have just kind of been like, well, just throw me your pitch and just let me give the elevator pitch
and we'll go from there.
Could have just listened half-assed and just like let it go, and I could have said thanked him for a time and anybody, and I wouldn't have been able to be mad at him had he said that. It wouldn't have been anything where I could have been upset. But he was so in tune with what we were talking about. He constantly asked questions. He was very interested in what we were doing and how we were doing it and what the, you know, we were talking about 3 years and 5 year plans. And then we got to the discussion about Frontline. And when we talked about Frontline, then, you know, we started just talking wrestling, and the conversation got really, really one-minded because Tim Abel and Eric Beach for about 35 minutes had nothing to say.
Just sitting there politely
stealing the conversation away from them. And
it's funny you bring that up about, you know, Rob being such a guy who's so intuitive to it. And, you know, being, you know, I guess respectful about it, because again, this goes back to what we've always talked about, Dave. It's the guys who last in the business. And I don't care what your business is. I don't care if you're a stand-up comedian, a musician, a wrestler, an actor, whatever. The guys who last and the guys who've been around are always the nicest guys. The assholes never last. And I think that's really interesting. Yeah. And it's a big credit to Rob Van Dam, you know, for being as interested as he was in the project and being legit about it, because he could have just as easily been, okay, you know, here's some more guys trying to, you know, piggyback off me or whatever, but mm-hmm. saw it for what it was. And I think that speaks a lot to his, you know, his credibility and his character.
I think the smartest thing we said to him was that, you know, we would love to have him on board, but this was going to get made one way or the other. If he was with us, it would be so much better and we could do so much more. And if he wasn't, it would really suck, but we're still going to go through with it. And I think him seeing that, like, that we were dedicated to this project with or without him kind of showed him just how much we cared about it and how much we wanted to get it done. Mm-hmm. So we were able to secure some funding to kick up some funds to run this thing and to film it, because it's not cheap. It's thousands and thousands of dollars to run a documentary, and it's a lot of money. And then there's editing processes, and there's you know, scripting, and there's you know, renting photogs and renting lighting equipment, and there's just so much stuff to it. And my eyes were really opened up to the whole process. And we had our second talk with Rob about 3 weeks later, and it was just me and Rob at first because we were waiting for Eric to get on the call. And Rob goes, "Hey Ben, I was just wondering if you think this makes sense. Like, if it doesn't, it's cool, but don't you think it would make sense that if you're doing this movie and we're talking about how wrestling helps you or anything like that, like, not to sound like a egotistical like jerk or anything, but like, shouldn't we wrestle each other? Wouldn't that make sense?"
Can you tell the story, but use Rob Van Dam's voice when you do his part?
Like, hey man, you look like, I'm just thinking like, if we fight each other, like, that would be good because it would make sense because we're both in the movie and it's all about dreams, and like, you want to wrestle like the best in the world, and like, I want to wrestle you because like, I love your story and I think you're awesome. And I was like, yeah, that sounds like a plan. and my wife is next to me, and I'm just like, I don't know what to do. And she's just like, nod your head. And I was like, because we're on the video, and I'm just like, yeah, that sounds really super. And I must have looked like the weirdest creeper. And
you told her to go get you an ice cream.
Oh man, right? Exactly. I was ready to be pampered just like one of those Bond girls, I'm telling you.
Inside joke, folks.
Yeah, it's an inside joke, big time. But it was so cool. And then I was just like, yeah, well, that would be something that we could possibly do. And then it became, well, what does this look like money-wise? And then, you know, at first, I just remember hearing all the price. And it wasn't just Rob. It was just the whole overall bundle of doing this show, of doing it in such a venue and doing it with a big name. And how
and
this
doing it right,
and,
you know.
And doing it the right way.
Yep.
You know, Frontline Pro, we really pride ourselves on, we're not your fly-by-night wrestling company. We do not run off the gate. We are very proud to say that we guarantee paydays.
Yep.
We've never missed paydays on any of our talent. We're proud of the talent that we have. And we make sure that they're taken care of. And I think that speaks volumes compared to people who go and run off the gate. And then if they have a bad house, can just go to their talent and go, well, it's wrestling. You know what you signed up for.
Yep. Sorry, brother. Here's a hot dog and a handshake.
Here's half of what I owe you. I'll get you back sometime.
I'll get you next time, brother.
Wink. Sometime is always never.
Right.
And so, we always make sure that we have, well, and that just is a reflection of the fact that we have great supporters. We have a great community behind us. Marathon and Wood counties have been absolutely wonderful to us, that whole area. And the fact that we've been able to help raise the funds that we've been able to raise. I mean, we're over $30,000 in 3 years.
Nice.
We've done 25. We just had our 25th show, this last Saturday, to celebrate our 3-year anniversary. You know, we have Rob's Honor Bond show here in 8 days. And just to see where we went and to how we got to here was crazy. But back to Rob, it became one of those things where we kind of talked about it a couple more times. And the next thing you know, it was like, well, let's go for it. And Eric Beach, to his credit, just looked at me and said, hey, man, worst case scenario, I'll just take out a credit card and we'll just get it figured out. And the fact that that man offered that to me, not that he had to, it meant the world to me because he really believed in what we could do and really believed in what could be put out as if we did this show. And luckily for us, it didn't come to that. We have absolutely amazing donors and supporters that have came out and help us fund this show. We're excited, man. I mean, it's going to be the best show we've ever had. I think it's, as far as talent wise, it's the most stacked show we've ever had.
Yep. And that's so critical because, man, I'll tell you, there's nothing worse than going to an indie show and you're just like, oh my God, these guys are garbage. I haven't wrestled in whatever, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And I'm thinking to myself, I could grab this guy, go out there and put on a better match than what I'm seeing. And that's just the worst. And, you know, and that doesn't help you long-term. How many promoters have we see these fly-by-night guys you talk about where they come, they're almost as bad as like a shingle roofing company that chases storms around. They're like, hey, we'll come in, we'll run the show, we'll do all this stuff. Boom, boom, boom. They get the money and then you never see them again. And it's a garbage show with worse talent, you know, but to have a promotion like you guys who are one, a stand-up organization doing a great thing for a great cause, bringing in great talent, putting on a good show. I mean, that's what people want. And that's, you know, with the whole beer flu going on and nobody able to do anything, I'm telling you, man, people are just chomping at the bit to get out and do something. And this is going to be perfect for them because they yell, scream, get their emotions out, all the great stuff we always talk about indie wrestling for. So, I mean, hats off to you guys doing a great thing and people are going to love it. They are going to be jacked there.
We're super excited, man. It's one of those things where it's been a rough process. You know, this was not an easy road to get here. You know, originally this was supposed to happen 2 years ago and 5 weeks before it happens, I shattered my leg. And then we get back from that and I fast track my recovery and I try to get back in time in about 6.5 months when I'm really honestly supposed to be out between 8 to 10. But I worked my ass off to get there. We finally get everything rescheduled for last year, April. COVID hits 4 weeks before we're supposed to run. So now 5 weeks out, we've had it getting taken away from us. 4 weeks out, we've had it getting taken away from us. And now finally, it's like the stars are finally aligning. Everything's finally kind of matching up. You know, we are being extremely safe with the COVID protocols, though. We are capped at 500 seats. We have 500 seats, and that's it for this event. Well over half of them are gone. I would be very surprised if we had any at the door. And if we did, it would be a very limited amount. So we encourage everybody to go to our Eventbrite page and get your tickets on there. General admission is all we have left. First and second rows are gone and have been for a long time. And it's just, you know, it's been crazy to get to this point because we have all that stuff. And then with the COVID protocols, you know, we're going to have forehead thermometers. We're going to have masks for people. Masks are mandated on this thing. They got to bring them. We're not going to be
Lucha
or if you want to drink a beer and if you want to drink a beer and eat nachos and stuff like that, you know, we're not going to be, you know, crazy about it,
right.
But it's just one of those things about having one on your person, respecting the people around you and just trying to keep everybody as safe as possible and wearing it as much match as you can. You know, we're not expecting people to, like, you know, take a sip and put it back up and take a sip and put it back up. We're not ridiculous. But we do want to follow the guidelines. You know, I look at it as, you know, my wife has, you know, pre-existing medical conditions that make her high risk. And I would never want anything to ever happen to her. My kids Absolutely. Come to these shows. We never wanted them to come after that. You know, myself and a lot of the wrestlers went and got COVID tests, you know, before the show to make sure that we were safe for the fans. So there was nothing to be worried about on our ends. You know, we're trying to do everything we can with, like, hand sanitizing stations. We're going to socially distance our chairs. That's why we have 500. That's why we're capped, because any more, we wouldn't have been able to socially distance. And that was a very key thing for the Holiday Inn. And they've been great to work with. They're just, they have very strict guidelines.
Oh yeah. They get the message from up top that they have to conform with.
It's above anybody's pay grade that's doing this show. Yeah. It really is. This goes to, like, corporate, mm-hmm. you know, it goes to the heart of the company and what they think needs to be done. So we're just trying to follow the mandates and their requests as much as we can. They're running low on rooms. We know that our block has filled up 3 times with the frontline code. People can still do that. You guys can go and call the Holiday Inn in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. It's the Holiday Inn Convention Center. I think the number is open from, like, midnight to about, what is it? It's 4 a.m. to midnight every night or every day. You can reach them there. But if you do that, you save $50 on your rooms. They're big $130, $140 rooms, wind up being $90. If you just call it and say that you're there for the Frontline Pro deal. Nice. So we highly encourage everybody to hop in on those. We do know that they're out of double queen beds. They only have king beds, rooms left. So you guys
only got one bed for us, Dave.
Only one.
Well, we got we got Dave the old college pullout couch like he used to live on.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
Sleep on the floor with the
bringing back old memories.
There you go.
Well, Dave will drop all the information in the description box and post all the info and whatnot. So we'll make sure that everybody can be covered on that and get everything you need to know. Because I will tell you this, and you can probably speak to this as well, Ben. Is there anything better than doing a wrestling show in the hotel where you're staying at and you don't even have to drive anywhere? Like, there's the hotel bar. There's your room right there. There's nothing better, man. We got into some trouble with a couple of those ACW shows back in the day that I won't get into, but there's nothing better. And you're growing up now. You're a responsible fellow, so you won't have any of that nonsense.
I was there for some of those shows, and I can remember certain Minnesota brethren tackling trees in the hotel lobby while the other one, to create a distraction, while the other one went behind the bar and grabbed 2 bottles of vodka and ran back to the room. I remember. I remember that very clearly as they ran past and both were like, "Dread McCoy, you saw nothing," and then just hauled ass past us.
Can you give us just a quick little lineup or maybe about some of the guys that are going to be featured on the show? Obviously, you got yourself and RVD.
Tell us the talent.
So myself and Rob Van Dam are the main event, obviously.
Look at this guy booking himself in a main event. Yeah, what a homer. Probably going to put himself over, too.
Hey, just think to yourself like this. What would Carmine do?
Oh, exactly.
Then you just loosely try to throw something in the ballpark of that and hope that God you're right.
Yeah. Continue.
No, we have that. Bill Alfonso will be coming on board, awesome. And he'll be in for us. We're really excited to have Bill Alfonso. Katie Forbes and Cal Hero will be tagging in a mixed tag match against Sierra and Joey Avalon. I'm looking forward to that one.
That'll be a good one.
We have 4 titles on the line. The King of the Cruiserweights Championship will be defended by my son, Gavin. Yes, my son is a wrestler. Magnum Yavin McCoy. It's not the condom brand. It's the Magnum PI TV show. Quinn, before you go anywhere else, don't ruin my child yet. He's still not 18.
We'll give him some time.
Give him some time. And he'll defend against TW3, who I think is obviously one of the best cruiserweights in the Midwest.
Oh, has been for a while.
If not in America. I think that's going to be a great match. We have the brand new Frontline Pro Tag Team Championships being defended by our tag team champions, Quinn Whittick and Skylar Evans, the Dream Warriors. They'll be facing off against Aaron Arsenal, and a man you know very well, Quinn, as you as well, Mr. Damone, Shane Hills, as the GOP. As the GOP will challenge for the tag team championship.
The geriatric. I can't say the rest. Love Shane, though.
Oh, shout out to Shane Hills.
Shout out to old Shane bastard. Hills. So we have that going on. The battle championship will be defended by our new champion in a rematch as Rough Crossing, the new champion, defends against former champion Jay Cash in a last man standing match for the battle championship.
This all is I want to know.
Contest.
All I want to know. Find out
once and for all.
Sorry to cut you off. All I want to know in that match, you better give Jay Cash at least 8 minutes to do a promo, because that guy leaves me rolling every single time. He's getting mic time.
Oh, Lord. Here we go.
That's what he does, too. Shout out to Jay Cash, the story about baby wipes and mud butt. You're listening. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, Lord. Hey, man, that's ever since he's got on that Words with Cash kick, it's a whole new the text messages I get are very unusual. My wife will look at me at times and be like, who sends that to another person? I said, I don't know. I just, these are my friends and this is my life.
Just running by the guy, you know?
Yeah, the one and only Jay Cash.
So we have that match. Obviously, the Frontline Pro Heavyweight Championship will be defended as Kota Jacobs, our new champion who just won the title back in January, defends against Justin Dredd in their first ever matchup as they go one-on-one with each other for the very first time. And, that's going to be a really cool matchup. And then last but not least, we have a fatal five-way for the number one contendership for the person to get the first shot at the heavyweight champion when we come back in August on the 7th in Marshfield at the Holiday Inn there as we come back for Hold the Line, which will be our big super event over there, which will be raising funds for Patriots for Warriors, which is the same outfit that we worked with this last January. And they do wonderful jobs helping out veterans with, you know, keeping their heat on, sending them to trade schools, just honest to God, logistical help in any facet that they needed in. So that's we're excited for that one. And that match will be the five men, which I think this match is going to be ridiculous. You have the Ice Pick, Vic Capri.
Yep.
You have the Outlaw, Zach Hendricks. You have Colin Brooks, who was just Frontline Pro Heavyweight Champion for 476 days. You have Logan Lynch, who's the longest reigning Frontline Pro Champion at 497 days. And then last but not least, you top it off with the 450-pound Backwoods Brown. And you got yourself a whole lot of chaos. And, well, you know me, I likes the chaos.
Yeah, so, it's going to be something, man. That sounds like a stacked show.
That is a stacked show.
Guys, if you don't have your tickets for this, like Ben said, get them now. And I mean, seriously, you want to get out and see something, see some entertainment, you know, be able to interact. There's nothing better. I'm telling you, you're going to feel like $1 million after going to an independent wrestling show. You can sit there, have a couple of beers. Is there alcohol served?
Oh, absolutely. We got three bars. We got two bars inside. you don't even got to leave the area. We have two rolling bars on cart bars that will be rolling and constantly moving around the crowd as they go and get beer while the action takes place.
No, that's genius.
We have nothing to worry about.
Brilliant.
Talk about catering to the fans right there. I mean, they don't even have to get out of their seat. It's just like a baseball football game, right?
Yeah.
Beer here.
Yep.
Pretty much. We basically have them on an interval where every half hour they'll just kind of swap over and then work their way around clockwise. And we'll just keep doing that until hopefully everybody gets their fill of whatever they want. So, but we're excited, man. I mean, this is going to be the biggest thing we've ever done. And, you know, it's going to help us fund still here and finish the project that we've been working on for 3 years. You know, it's exciting that we can get this finished, get our exit interviews done, and then 6 months time or less, we could be editing and getting ready to put stuff out in the spring/summer of next year. And it's pretty exciting because it's like after such a long lull and such a long, you know, dead space of nothingness, to finally get back in the saddle again and to see the light at the end of the tunnel is a pretty cool feeling.
And then, so for the upcoming documentary, let's maybe switch gears and speak to that a little bit. Where will folks be able to find that once it comes out? Will this be something they come directly to you for, or is there some platforms they can look for it on?
It's going to be, at first, it's going to be directly to us. We are in talks with several different platforms. You know, I'm hoping Amazon Prime is kind of like the leading candidate of what we would like to get out there as fast as possible. So that's kind of going to be the one that we hope to work with. But we've talked to other streaming services as well. Okay. And, it's going to basically just be, that's going to be a decision that me and Eric make together once we get a little closer to post-production being done. And, we'll just figure it out from there. That's where Rob comes in a lot, really.
Absolutely.
Where Rob comes in. That's where Tim Abel comes in. These guys have done stuff. Obviously, Rob just did a documentary called Headstrong. I can't recommend it enough. It's on Amazon Prime. You can rent it for $2.99. Otherwise, you can buy it on the same streaming service. It's also on iTunes and several other platforms. It's a documentary about Rob that's literally just supposed to be about him doing a comedy tour. Turns out being about him having CTE or possibly having CTE, about his concussion past, and about traumatic brain injuries in pro wrestling. And it takes a whole nother thing on it. Christopher Nowinski is in it. It's very compelling. It starts off at one thing and very quickly changes into something else. And I think the biggest thing that I admire about it is that you see just how tough of a man this man is going through it, because he just,
oh dude, the stuff he literally shakes
off.
Day.
He shakes off like a grade 2 concussion for like a week and just is like, well, I have hole spots and I can't see, but you know, let's go do this comedy show. I'll just wear these sunglasses and be fine.
Yeah. No, and,
unreal, man.
Like who the hell does that? You know?
Yeah. The stuff they did back in the day, I mean, you know, everybody thinks about the chair shots and, you know, rightfully so. If you watch them now, you're so conditioned.
Think about
to not
any of those
Jerry
Lynn matches.
Vicious. But yeah, all this stuff with Jerry Lynn, maybe out on the concrete. I mean,
think about him and Rhino. Think about Hardcore Heaven 90, Hardcore Heaven 2000. Like, I mean, Jesus, there are so many matches that man was in and moves he did that, if you think about it, if he didn't have the athletic talent that he did, as well as the muscle definition,
and just being a genetic freak
that he did. Oh my God, he would have never, any other person that would try to have done what Rob Van Dam did from 96 on would have never made it to the year 2000. They would have blown something out. They would have their neck, their back, something would have been career ending, and it would have never happened. So it just, you know, and not to sing his praises, but it just, again, it speaks to a man's testament of being that tough, being able to, you know, keep yourself in that kind of shape where you can go out and night in, night out, do things that other guys can't do. The other reason I like that documentary is there's another great guest speaker in there that you can check out. The beard's a little shorter, the hair's a little longer, but it's still the same cat.
This guy never misses a chance to put himself over, I'm telling you.
Hey man, if I don't put myself over, who will?
No one will.
Exactly.
God, you get taught that real early. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. First thing they teach you.
If nobody will put you over, put yourself over.
Yep. Well, and the backstories and the story, I guess you'd say behind the curtain and behind the ropes is always really interesting to see. So guys, there's a ton of great documentaries out there. There's obviously a lot of great stuff on the WWE Network, now streaming on Peacock, that is out there and worth watching. And the stories behind that, the interviews, they're all fantastic. Definitely check them out and make sure you keep an eye out for old Mickey McCoy's.
Oh, there it is. I knew I wasn't going to escape the whole interview without it being brought up.
That's
I knew
right.
It wasn't going to happen. You know, I heard Mickey McCoy tagged with Mason Quinn one time.
Oh, God, they destroyed everybody.
To wrestle for the NWA Wisconsin Tag Team Championships. And somebody failed their partner and we didn't win them. So.
No, I definitely think we won that one.
Hey, you know, Ben, maybe you can relate, but I do remember a couple matches where Diamond Dave had to take nothing but probably about the first 12 minutes of an ass whooping. And then finally I get a tag and then, oh yeah, Quinn's there. Just, you know, the 1, 2, 3, just like that. Do all the heavy lifting. And then here comes Mason Quinn. Da-da-da-da. 1, 2, 3. It's like, oh, thanks, partner.
You know, Tully Blanchard never complained about having to take the shine from the baby faces.
I was getting my ass whipped all out, but hey, we were 4-time take champs.
That's right.
That's
should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, dang. There you go. That's pretty solid, man. I mean, me and Chase were, 11-time tag team champions, but no big deal. Who's counting?
That would have been a great, great matchup between the McCoys versus Bad Medicine.
If Bad Medicine and McCoys would have happened, that would have been great. That's definitely one on the list of I wish I would have never missed. There's a few teams like that, man, though. But like, I've been doing this for 16 years. You go back and you look at stuff and it's like, shit, look at all the people you missed when you were gone. Look at all the people you just missed because when you came back, they were getting out.
Yep.
And it's crazy. But now we are in such a youth movement. In not only just Wisconsin, but the entire Midwest. I've never seen so much young talent. Honestly, since probably Man, probably quitting since mine.
Yeah, because
after your guys' stuff. Because we had a really big ass class when we first came in.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know if it's because, you know, you're in it and you notice it more, but you know, because I was, you know, working obviously between both Minnesota and Wisconsin, so you kind of got to see both those guys. And I just remember coming in when I first came in to Minnesota and was training and stuff, like the guys who were there, they looked like they belonged in the WWE. I'm talking, you had guys like, okay, not only like guys like Horace and like Magnus Maximus was there, who I, you know,
Mitch Paradise
went on to, you know, to be in the WWE, but you had guys, you had Sean Daivari, you had Austin Aries, you had Ken Anderson, you had all these guys who were there.
John Johnson looked like $1 million.
Yeah.
He could have been a WWE guy.
You know, and then you had guys that not a lot of people know of, like Doss. Guy was built great, could work pretty solid. You know, Tommy Gunn was in there, always a great time.
Tommy Gunn. Oh my God. Dude, Tommy Gunn was, man, you want to talk about underrated. I always loved that they had him and Dinty be a tag team back in Bruce City, but damn, man.
He was wrestling with like six cracked vertebrae in his back or whatever it was.
Oh my God. Nerves. I remember that. We were at Perkins that one night. That was the night I crashed my car because I was trying to drive home and I fell asleep at the wheel trying to get home like a dumbass. And anyways, but that was the night he told me that was that we were all sitting there ordering Denny's or Perkins. And he was like, hey, by the way, you know, because I was like complaining about my shoulder, and I was complaining about my shoulder because legitimately I had actually torn my rotator cuff. I didn't know I had torn my rotator cuff. It just hurt a lot. And I thought I might've hurt my shoulder. And he was like, well, whatever it is, I broke, you know, so many vertebrae in my back. So you have no excuse. Don't be a pussy. And
yeah,
I was
like, fantastic. But, you know,
okay,
that just speaks to, and we talked about this with Ken, Ken Anderson at your last show. We were talking about that, how, man, it just seemed like the amount of talent that was there when we were coming in. And then I didn't even mention the guys that were in Milwaukee. I didn't even get into the Dysfunctions, the Matt Winchesters, the Silas Youngs. I mean, all
Steve
the guys. The Steve Stones, the other couple of guys from Chicago that were there.
Yeah,
and it was
Brandon
like,
Blaze, all those guys.
And it's just like, holy shit. Like, how is a guy ever going to stand out or crack the roster anywhere or anything like that? Because, you know, we always joked about when we would go as extra talent to like Raw or SmackDown. And it was, I don't know if it just happened by out of the blue or whatever, but everybody would always show up with black pants and blue dress shirts on. And I remember we were at one that CM Punk was actually at when he was just, you know, trying to get a job or whatever. And he had on the blue shirt as well. So it wasn't just us indie jobber scum that wore the blue dress shirts and the black pants. It was even some of the guys who went on to make something of themselves.
I wouldn't know. I funny enough, that's the one thing I've never done. I've never been extra talent.
You just missed out on catering. That's all.
I've done everything else. Oh, dude, I think that's the only reason I would ever want to do it. If they were ever like, hey, do you want to do something tonight? I'd be like, nah, man, I'm just going to have some pizza. Yep.
I remember I was there with Rashi at one. Rashi Brown, shout out to him. Another great talent. Rashi,
oh my God.
6'6" guy built like a tank and could talk
Keith
on
Venom
the mic
Walker.
And everything else. Yeah, and Keith
Venom
and Venom.
Walker.
Yeah.
You want to talk about a guy who should have made it when he was in pristine condition, we'll just call it that. but when he was in pristine condition, how that man didn't get a job, I'll never get it.
Well,
because understand.
They had the Batistas and all those guys were down in OVW at that same time. It was just that there was so much talent at once. You couldn't jam him in there. But
I always thought he would have been a great partner for Lesnar as a tag. Had Lesnar never broke out to be a star, had he maybe had like a hole in his game or something they wanted to cover up, oh my God, it would have been a perfect match.
Yeah. And, you know, again, you know, to those guys' talent level, and it's just like, man, it's like you just came like 10 years too early, you know?
It does feel like
big
that.
Time.
Yeah, you know, because like if a lot of those guys were around now, I mean, there's relatively speaking that we know of that are, you know, big and popular, there's not a lot of big guys out there. I mean,
the whole game changed from when we broke in.
Go ahead.
When I broke in 2005, it was the land of giants still. I mean, you got to remember me and Dredd and Bryce were tiny. We were the smallest guys,
cruiserweights,
and it wasn't even close. We were easily the smallest guys. It was everybody in the rosters back then was at least 210 pounds. Cause it was like you said, I mean, it's Xavier Mustafa, it's Brandon Blaze, it's Mitch Paradise coming down. Black Stallion.
Yeah, forget about Mitch Stallion. Yeah.
Come down with Tommy Gunn. Yep. And then it's you. And then it's you, Quinn, and it's Matt Winchester, and it's freaking Quinston Valentino. And I mean, the names go on and on. Rashi Brown, Jay Ryan used to Jay Ryan used to come out.
Yep.
Matt Longtime was there. Rashi Brown, Silas Young. I mean, God, there was just so
Shout out to Eric Rowan was there. You know, 6'10" Viking. Yeah,
Thorif. Thor, dude, as Thorif as well.
Thorif, like, yeah.
As Thorif, I mean, there was so much. And then when they had, you know, when I first broke in, they still had the deal with Harley Race's Noah Camp.
Yep.
So we were getting guys like Brandon Tatum and guys like that, and Bryce Tate and those dudes, and Darren Wade, and we're getting the guys that Harley's pushing as like his main dudes in tag division and the mid card. And here's me and Dredd, and I'm 175 pounds. Terry's like 160. And we're just looking at this like, how the hell? Like, it's not believable to beat anybody when the smallest guy is Adrian Serrano, and he's a shoot fighter who fought in the U.S. Like, that's the most realistic guy you get. Thank God, luckily for me, the one small guy we did have at the time was Vato. Big shout out to Jose Guerrero.
Absolutely.
He was the only guy, because I mean, it was still sacred back then. Like, you weren't just welcomed in. It wasn't treated like a job interview.
No, and it wasn't just anybody.
It was a fraternity. It was very much we're going to play hell with you for the first few shows and make you quit. My group, I'll never forget it. And Quinn, you were there for night one. My group was 28 people. And it was so funny because we had 28 people on night one. And there was a chop line of 30 guys. And everybody had to take a chop from a guy. So we all got 30 chops. And I mean, I just remember I went home and my mom was so upset. She wanted nothing. I just wanted her to wash my laundry. And as I'm like helping out my niece with her swimming pool, which is a baby pool, I take off my shirt to hop in there. Well, not thinking about, I have all these marks on 2 days ago. And I'm all busted open and, you know, it's all gross and like nasty.
Yeah, all bloodshot.
I got the third degree. But I remember we came back because that's when Bruce City was running bi-weekly. It was every 2 weeks. It wasn't the once a month back then.
Yep.
And we were at AMF Lanes in Waukesha. And we came back 2 weeks later and I'll never forget it. It was 28 on day one. It was 12 on day two. And I'll never forget 16 people dropped off. Dude, of everybody that was in my class, myself and Mario Crivello are the only guys left.
Yep, it's crazy.
The only three guys who really made it to actually have wrestling careers were me, him, and Scotty Pride, who, by the way, is married and has two kids and is doing great and living in Milwaukee, by the way, man. Everybody always asks me, whatever happened to that guy?
So no, he's doing great, except for having to live in Milwaukee.
Yeah,
I'm just playing. Shout out to Milwaukee. Hey, the one quick story that I want to tell, and then we'll move on to the Hall of Fame, because these guys always give me shit for it. I always tell them how much better AEW would be if the real leader of Legacy, Ted DiBiase Jr., was running it. And these guys always give me shit like, why are you so over on Teddy Jr.? Why do you like him so much? And I always go back to the show that Frank did for Bruce City, where
he wrestled Terry,
where Dinty brought in Teddy Jr. and how cool of a guy he was. And do you remember when we went to Sharky's, where we'd always have the after party? Were you there for that one?
I was.
I think it was Dis had the DJ tell everybody, hey, everybody, WWE superstar Randy Orton is here. And Teddy had a couple of cocktails in him. He goes on the dance floor and he does the Randy Orton pose and like everybody popped for it. It was great. So Teddy's always over in my book for that great story.
What the fuck is wrong with that guy?
Damn it. Wrong bike.
Fuck on me. Yeah. Third wheel in Legacy. Get that guy out of here.
Oh, it kills me though. Hey, they missed the boat on him. Don't ever forget that Raw where Orton zapped the Million Dollar Man with the RKO, and him and Orton got face to face, and it was just, you could taste the tension, and he should have hit him. Everybody knows he should have hit him, and he didn't. And that was the moment. That was the moment everything went from here's the sky's the limit to wound up happening.
Yeah. Well, and I think Teddy wanted to get out of the business as well. But anyway, he's another great guy that's doing some cool stuff. But hey, we had a couple other topics that we wanted to get to here. So the big news with WWE, of course, is it's WrestleMania season, which means it's Hall of Fame season. And we were talking a little bit before we came on the air here. You and Dave were going back and forth about some of your thoughts on the Hall of Fame for this year.
Yeah. So two big things, obviously, that stand out, right, is, of course, Eazy-E, Mr. Eric Bischoff. And then, of course, Big Dave. He has some other things going on, so of course he's not going to be able to be there this year. And of course, a lot of people before Dave came out with his news saying, I asked to kind of be put on pause until the time's right. So, and you were kind of getting into some stuff, but I told you just wait to save it. So let her rip.
Oh, I have nothing to say officially. I just know that there's a lot of stuff on dirt sheets going around about certain people I know in the Hall of Fame and how that may or may not be true. And all I,
about
all
your
I
know thoughts? Is that. Well, then, how, if you don't want to get in too far into it, how about your thoughts on who they have announced? Obviously, they had the great Khali, Kane, of course.
Sorry, I just had a great Khali in my throat, which was a great big loogie. Anyways, Khali getting it, I don't know, man. I mean,
it's like if you're going to play
his Giants and look at it this way, if they ever make a physical Hall of Fame, how wonderful will it be to have that extra bronze statue of a giant 7-foot monster to go alongside of Andre and John Studd and Kane and Taker and everybody else. I mean, I'm sure Strowman will go in on nothing more than based on the fact that he's a real life giant.
Huge guy, you know, and with great Khali, now maybe we're all looking back at it as a bit of a laugh and a bit of a joke. But what I'm saying. You know, obviously the dude was a legend in India. And is this a situation, because I don't know, so I'll ask you guys, is this a situation where they got Khali too late and his body was just broken down and couldn't do anything? Was he really talented before in India? Because, I mean, everybody looks at him as a bit of a joke now, let's be honest.
Yeah. I think it's a little bit of the fact that they were late on the train. I think that definitely had something to do with it. If you watch his earlier stuff, Khali was actually very agile. I mean, if you really watch his older stuff, it's hard to find. If you YouTube deep dive enough, you'll find stuff. He could actually move. Like he was actually not that bad. But we don't get that. And the other thing you have to remember is the Hall of Fame is, you know, an American sports tradition. So for us, it's always going to be like movies. Movies domestically in America, whatever they gross, that's what we look at. We don't care about the worldwide number, but the worldwide number always helps out the movie. So when you look at a professional wrestler who wrestles around the worldwide acclaim that Khali has in places like Europe, in places like India and Asia, you know, in places like Africa and you know, Australia, there's definitely a chance that that's what they looked at. They looked at the international numbers. They looked at what he was as a drawing power throughout those years before, maybe. And that's how you figure that out. But I think there's a lot of people like that. I think there's going to be a lot of Hall of Famers that are going in the future where people look at their worldwide contributions to stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Bischoff doesn't just go in for the Monday Night War stuff or the 83 week stuff. I think you also have to look at the fact that Eric Bischoff was able to move WCW into primetime television. You have to remember that Eric Bischoff was able to get, you know, DirecTV and all these major cable providers to run their programs for pay-per-views when they used to tell them no and wouldn't do it. And they had to do the closed circuit stuff.
Absolutely. I mean, and to that point, that's in a time when there was no Netflix, there was no Amazon Prime.
Streams.
You had cable TV and it's, let's say 50-ish channels, maybe. Yep.
Maybe.
And maybe 10 of those were, you know, ones people, your TNT, your TBS, your USA, TNN, whatever you want to call it. And this guy was able to pull that off with wrestling when there was already another company doing it. So, you know, like you said, that big shout out.
Took WCW, right, was at a small level, right? I guess that's kind of fair to say. Yep. And then when Bischoff got his hands on it and they kind of gave him free reign, it just took off like a rocket.
Well, he never made any money, but It got big.
He never made any money, but he did take it to a global market. You got to remember, yep. Yes. Bischoff's the guy who got Jay Leno. Bischoff's the guy that got, like, how hard do you think that must have been? You went to NBC, the main backer of your opponent in this particular entertainment business, and they still put you on their programs, and they gave you their top late night host to be on your pay-per-view. These are the things that I will always look at Eric Bischoff and be like, that's why you should be in the Hall of Fame. That's insane. The international guys. Remember, it was Bischoff that went and got, you know, Benoit, even though we can't say his name. And Guerrero.
Got Liger, all those guys.
And Dean Malenko and Rey Mysterio. He was the guy that went and got all the cruiserweights. It wasn't Bill Hurd or anybody else. No. That was all Eric Bischoff. And you got to remember that Bischoff was also the guy who helped orchestrate the it didn't work in the early 90s, but helped organize that Japanese trade to get guys like Jason Thunder Liger over, to get guys like Ultimo Dragon over and Sonny Ono and guys like that.
And all of a sudden, everybody loves the Japanese stuff. Yep. And all of a sudden, nowadays, everybody loves the Japanese stuff. You know, everybody gets excited for the G1 or whatever and New Japan and all that. And that's where a lot of stars come from. So, yeah, you know, again, it's not the stuff people necessarily think of at face value of what the sterilized WWE product necessarily gives you, you know?
Yeah. And if you look at the rest, I mean, Molly Holly, I thought Molly should have been in 5 years ago.
Oh, absolutely.
Well-deserved, well overdue. I think Molly Holly is this year's British Bulldog. Where the British Bulldog last year, it was like when that finally got announced, we all sat there and went, Jesus, finally. Like, this should have happened years ago. And Molly Holly is definitely in that conversation. You know, and I'm hoping that they get, you know, the other women, you know, the Victorias and people like that. I hope they all get their day in the sun too. But Molly Holly, I was really happy with. And Kane was cool, man. I watched the bump yesterday. I watched Undertaker give him the news. And you want to talk about a heartfelt dude. You want to talk about a company man? I don't think there's a more company man than Kane. I mean, that dude did everything, took any gimmicks. You got to remember, he broke in not as Dr. Isaac Yankum. He was the Black Knight for Jerry Lawler in the 94 Survivor Series, for Christ's sake.
Yep.
Like he literally got nothing dealt to him but dog crap and turned it into, you know, chicken salad. It was great.
I feel like Glenn Jacobs feels like he's been in the wrestling business for like 100 years.
Yeah, it does. And I don't ever recall him.
It's been a minute.
Yes. And I don't ever recall him really having any major injuries that I can think of. And I'm sure he had some stuff, you know, nagging here and there, but I don't ever recall him being a guy that was ever out for any extended period of time because of injuries, you know, storyline related usually. So, I mean, again, another genetic freak.
That deserved. That was well deserved. And I think it's cool that they gave Kane the nod before Taker, because I think if you put Taker in and then you put Kane in afterwards, it's kind of an afterthought. I don't think Kane gets his just due with that. So super cool on Undertaker, because Taker easily could have been like, I'm like Vince, you know, Vince went to Taker this year and was like, well, is it this year? And Taker's like, nah, man, do Kane. I'll do it another time.
Yeah, get some of the other guys first.
Yeah, he was super cool about it. So, no, the Hall of Fame's great. I think I have a question for you guys. How do you guys feel about the 7 days of wrestling for WrestleMania week, where it starts off with Monday Night Raw, Tuesday is the Hall of Fame, Wednesday and Thursday is NXT Night 1 and Night 2, Friday is SmackDown, Saturday and Sunday are WrestleMania.
Dude, I love it. It should be a national holiday. I think it's awesome. And, you know, big shout out to NXT. Those guys are doing phenomenal. I love the storylines. That's, you know, me and my daughter, actually, she likes watching NXT, you know, more than the main shows. She really digs the NXT. And she's a big fan of The Way with Johnny Gargano and Austin Theory. I tell these guys every week, I'm like, Austin Theory is frigging gold as the stupid kind of meathead type guy in that.
You just wait. I'm going to tell you right now, that's if they don't mess it up, that kid's going to be the next big one. I mean, he just, where does he lack? In ring, excellent. Promo, excellent. Body, excellent. Gear, excellent. Demeanor, excellent. He checks every single box. Yep. He looks like a goddamn action figure. I mean, It's everything Vince would want. He's just big enough. He's that 6'1", yep, 6'1 and a half.
Where he won't, you know, won't have to worry about him getting hurt a lot because he's too big. You know, he's that almost like that Jericho size where you can just go forever. So yeah, big things out of him.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this week is portrayed, right? Because as you just said, a whole week dedicated to wrestling. So of course your hardcore fans are going to love it, but I wonder how much new traffic, if there is new traffic, that they'll pull in through it.
Well, I mean,
or
I
it's think, just going to be too much even for the hardcore fans.
It's going to be bigger. People want to complain about Peacock, but let's remember the network was a disaster when they opened it up originally, when it was the network. The interface was a mess.
Yep.
Trying to get to stuff was a nightmare. And we all had to just suck it up and get through it for about a month and a half. Yep. The same thing's going to happen here. You can't expect people to just download hundreds of thousands of hours of footage and be like, oh, yeah, we only need like 2 days. This isn't all Disney.
How come it's not working?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So, but I think by the summertime, it's going to be great. I think they'll have everything up and running. I have no qualms about that. But I do think that the Peacock thing is going to help out a lot. You have to remember, for especially for the wrestling subscribers, NBC is going to make out so much better than WWE is in this, in my opinion, because all of the WWE subscribers are basically guaranteed to stay when they go to Peacock, because we've all been paying $9.99 for the last 6 years anyway. Yeah. And now you get to get NBC for free. On top of it, stuff, you can watch Sequest DSV with freaking with Rob Schneider and freaking what's his nuts, Jonathan Brandis, one of the best heartthrobs of the '90s. Sidekicks reference.
Sidekicks.
If you haven't seen it, go check it out.
That's where they got the look from, the kid from Cobra Kai. They stole it from him. Everybody knows that. Absolutely. Ask anybody, they'll tell you.
It's the truthest. I'm telling you.
But no, I think that'll be huge too. And the other thing is they're going to be getting new eyeballs on it and new excitement. And with it being that week long, you know, that's going to be great. And, you know, there's really nothing else going on. You know, Diamond Dave and I were talking about this on our other segment we do about The Walking Dead, where there's not a whole lot of competition on cable TV for other shows to have to compete with. And I think the WWE is in a really nice sweet spot right now to catch a lot of potential interest and maybe get some long-term fans, because they do have so many different things to look at. You have the Raw and the SmackDown, but then you have the NXT and the NXT UK has been killing it as well. I make sure to watch that every week.
The one thing I hope they book on there, I would love to see an American wrestler invade NXT UK. And as a heel, walk into that company and go, F every single one of those guys in the back, F every single one of you. Yep. American tradition rules in professional wrestling more than European or any other kind. And I'm going to prove that when I go through every hero you have on this roster and I get to Walter and I knock him on his big dead ass and I take that belt from him. And then the guy does it. I've been dreaming of that scenario. For me, in a perfect world, I would absolutely die if Tommaso Ciampa did it. I think that would be the coolest, just neatest, because it's not a patriotic thing. It's much more of a, how dare you sit there and try to claim that you're as good as my NXT.
Yeah, and you're a purist or whatever. So let's go around here real quick. Who would you guys, let's say you have three guys to pick from. You already kind of said Tommaso Ciampa. Who would you like to see do the big British invasion? Two more guys from you. Who do you think?
Oh man. I would have to go. That's a hard one. Because immediately in your head, you want to go with Red Dragon with Fish and O'Reilly. Immediately you think about a tag team that could roll with like a Tommaso, which would be really different. But I would just bring out the heavy hitters. If you're really going to do something like that, it all depends on how big you want to make it. If it was something where it's like Walter, if it was the six man where it was like Walter, Pete Dunne, and like Tyler Bate or Trent Seven or something like that, taking on Adam Cole, Karrion Kross or Balor or something like Adam Cole, Balor and Ciampa.
Or is Finn Balor the wild card? You don't know where his allegiances lie, you know?
Exactly. Which NXT is Balor? Because here at Balor is on this UK team, but he's the NXT American champion. That's perfect world booking right there.
Diamond so Dave?
For my three, it would be Karrion Kross, Adam Cole, baby, And then this might surprise both of you.
If you say who I think you're going to say, I'm going to push you off your goddamn chair.
No, LA Knight.
Okay. I thought you were going to say Pat McAfee.
He's not full time. Pat McAfee's the name. But yeah, I would go with LA Knight. I mean,
as terrible as his name is,
the guy's stick work is fantastic.
Yep. And he's a guy who was trained in the WWE system. He, you know, all those guys know how to work.
Yeah.
Fantastic on the stick. In a way, a lot of people might get upset about this, but in a way, he kind of reminds me of a Ric Flair style of promo where he's not, it's not the wild and crazy, but like his cadence and the way he talks, it does remind me of like a mellow, like Ric Flair promo.
No. But, that's a good one.
Yeah, those are solid.
So switch gears here real quick, because we don't want to eat too much more of your time here.
I'm sorry.
Go for your
three. How about Twins three?
Yeah.
Cut off. Burying the veteran.
This is why you never made it in the biz, kid.
Yeah, see, this guy's always rushing. You're
going to help him put yourself over.
Slow down, kid.
Yeah, he's always rushing, always trying to get to the next spot. Jeez, good grief.
What was that spot again?
Yeah. No, for me, so three guys, and I think Ciampa's a no-brainer. You know, I think that absolutely works. And I think Karrion Kross, I think you have to go with absolutely. There's some stuff with Kross's
facials,
the things he does, I don't like, but it's minuscule and it's a style thing and it works. Everything else is obviously solid. And then, you know, for a third guy, is a bit of a wild card. I would have to go with like probably a Kyle O'Reilly. Mm-hmm. But he would have to have somebody with him because, you know, God bless those guys in the Undisputed Era. I love them. I love their stuff. But Jesus Christ, only Adam Cole can cut a promo. I mean, poor Roddy Strong. God bless him. I love him. But, his promo work is no good. And Kyle's solid, but, you know, ain't quite there. I don't think enough to lead an invasion. And I don't think I've heard Bobby Fish say three words. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, that's pretty true.
Yeah, but... anyways, so Diamond Dave, moving us on to the next topic.
Yes, real quick here.
This guy ain't got nothing to do.
Have you seen...
he ain't busy or anything.
Have you seen Justice League yet? The big...
Not yet.
Have you been doing a pretty good job of keeping away from the spoilers?
I have kept up with all the reviews, yes.
Okay, so you can see that a majority of the fans are putting it over, and I haven't seen too many critics say anything too indifferent, but... yeah, it's quite a quest.
I wouldn't say there's not too many credits. I think you're getting a little heavy handed here. I would say it's a lot more of like a 60-40 split. Like you're kind of making it sound like it's a 70 or an 80-30-20 split. That's not the case. I think there's plenty of people who don't like it. I think 4 hours for a movie is ridiculous. I didn't sit through Titanic for 4 hours and that killed thousands of people. So I'm just saying if a mass tragedy can't take 4 hours of my time up, I don't think superheroes should either. But I do want to see it. I think I love the idea of Superman in the black outfit. I like the idea of the extra Jared Leto stuff. I always thought that Jared Leto's Joker character kind of got a bad rap. I mean, it was supposed to be a different take. It always makes me laugh when fans of any genre sit there and complain about something, even after like the studio or the company comes out and says, this is going to be different. We're doing something else. I want the same stuff again.
And then we complain all movies are the same and remakes.
You got these little kid fans that are all, but that's not what I want. I want the other thing.
I want Heath Ledger again.
Yep. So that was
Nobody ever said.
I want to see Ledger again. Nobody said that. Jennifer Gardner didn't even say that.
Oh, and that, where is she now?
Well, it's interesting. Where is she now?
Yeah,
and a horrible movie on Netflix, by the way, yesterday.
She's calling me right now.
it's interesting that you bring up the Jared Leto thing because I do feel that there is more hate towards the Jared Leto than there is anything else with Leto. Like the Snyder version, I actually wouldn't mind seeing more of that, but the Suicide Squad version was just awful in my opinion.
It's all subjective. Mm-hmm. I think the reason I think people always didn't like the Suicide Squad was the story was a little too loose. There's too many holes. They tried to overly humanize them, but that's, you know, It's hard though. You're trying to make a movie about bad guys and make people actually want them to win. Like, not everybody's that cool fan who's all smart and hip to the game and is all like, yeah, these bad guys are badass too. Like, you know, there's still plenty of fans that are like, well, the bad guys are bad guys and the good guys are good guys. And
Well, then there's my take on the story with the Suicide Squad. And I'll throw my two cents here in Justice League because I watched it as well. My whole point with the first Suicide Squad, the whole point of that movie was to have Margot Robbie cosplaying as Harley Quinn so that all the nerds could go crazy for it. That's the entire reason that movie was made. It served no other purpose other than that.
And it's really funny because if you watch that entire movie, it's literally Suicide Squad is literally the new Raiders of the Lost Ark. You could go through that entire movie without the Suicide Squad and all the same shit happens and it all turns out the same way because the Suicide Squad didn't save that chick. The dude saved that chick. So yep. It's not so like they didn't even need to fucking be there. Like there's no reason to be there.
Yeah.
Like,
Flag was
the
awesome.
The whole movie could have ended. He could have went there with his regular team.
Yep.
And got the job done and been back in time for to nuke his supper. But instead you got Harley Quinn and all these assholes like Will Smith trying to collect a paycheck they don't deserve.
Yep.
And in movies they don't belong in. And then it is what it is. And I love Will Smith, but yep. Deadshot? Like, come on.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. Well, shout out to Joel Kinnaman. He was awesome in Suicide Squad. I liked him as Flag. I loved him in Altered Carbon until they ruined it by having Anthony Mackie do it. But that's a whole nother story. My quick two cents on Justice League. The first 3 hours doesn't really matter. All the nerds screaming for more time and wanting the Snyder cut. All they wanted was more of the nightmare scene with Batman and Joker. And that's pretty much it. Superman really wasn't in it. Now, granted, I saw the original Justice League a long time ago, so vaguely remember. But yeah, it was basically give us more nightmare, give us the Joker, and have Batman be more edgy. I thought it was, you know, fine for what it was, but Marvel is still the standard in terms of the comic book movies. You know, if you're into that sort of thing, they're trying, but gosh, that was, it took me 2 days to watch it just because
I wish
there's no point. What's going to happen?
I wish DC would finally pull the trigger on a thing and an idea that they've had for the last 6 years and they still haven't done it. I wish they would go to their animated writers and I wish they would green tag one of them to do a screenplay to at least take to the executives to do an actual full-length feature movie. I recommend every single animated movie that they have on the HBO Max, the Batman Gotham by Gaslight, the Batman Dark Knight.
Gotham Knight
I just watched today, which was awesome. It's a movie that it's broken up in chapters and every chapter is drawn in a different genre in a different way. So one is Japanese anime. One is classical American gangster style. One is, an abstract painting type of thing. And it's just a really cool way, but they're all the same story and they connect all together as they're played out. And they just have all these really cool ideas. And I just wish that they would give those writers a chance to write a full-length film because I really do think it would knock it out of the park.
See, These are the same people that
write the Arrow Universe stuff and the CW stuff. I mean, these are the same writing groups that mm-hmm. do both the animated stuff and the stuff for network television. And you watch the stuff and it's like, let's be honest, Marvel series TV series don't last. But I mean, look at the CW, The Flash was amazing. That's still on. Arrow had 8 seasons. You have, the Legends of Tomorrow and you have Stargirl now and you have Batwoman now. And I mean, there's just so many, that Black Lightning. I mean, there are so many additions onto what they had off of one main storyline. If they can do that with television, you can't tell me they can't make a decent 2.5-hour movie.
No. And the problem I have with it is how many times can you have this crew getting together to fight a baddie Thanos type guy? It's like the same thing over and over. It's like, okay, we're going to get our crew together and fight this one guy again. It just seems so vanilla to me. The real quick take that I had on the Avengers type stuff in Marvel, and then we can move on. But my real quick 2 cents on that is I was telling these guys, I was getting so upset that all the characters started acting like Robert Downey Jr. from Scarlet to Hulk to everybody else. They all started acting the everything is funny all the time. We're never in any danger. We'll keep making jokes. It's like Robert Downey Jr.'s personality was so big. All the other actors started acting like him, and it drove me nuts. That was the one thing that I couldn't handle with that. I'll leave it at that.
All right. I'll take your word for it.
Basically, the whole thing here is everyone hated the studio version. Everyone loved the Snyder version. So it's just one of those things. Yeah, there were some parts, don't get me wrong, that it could have been less than 4 hours, but still at the end of the day, it was much better than what the studio did.
I guess if they're saying, hey, we're going to give you the Snyder cut, you're getting everything. So strap yourselves in.
He literally said that. But apparently, he went to Warner Brothers saying, hey, I'm taking Batman and Joker in this nightmare scene and it's going to happen. And Warner Brothers told him no. So he had to fight for it. He's like, all right, well, if you guys aren't going to do it, let me do it in the studio. I'm putting up a green screen in my backyard and I'm taking those two and filming it. And then Warner Brothers said, fine, you can do it. So they were still toying with him during this whole thing.
It's funny. He never said, hey, executives, how many movies have you guys made that are successful? You know, do you know who I am? He should have pulled that card. That's what I would have done.
All right. Excuse me one second. You want to say, make your appearance? This is my daughter, Ireland. Say hi.
Hello.
Hey. Did you like Justice League or did you give it a big thumbs down like me?
Do you like the Justice League or no? Yeah. Who's your favorite? Wonder Woman or who?
Wonder Woman.
She likes the Wonder Woman. Fair
enough. Okay. Well, just get her watching Fast and Furious and James Bond and you'll be set.
I just got my son into Mad Max. And,
beautiful.
He's really digging the original Mad Maxes right now. We just saw Road Warrior last night. So,
you father of the year, this guy right here.
I did that and I turned him on to Vision Quest.
Loudon
Swain going
that
after.
That was his name, Loudon Swain. Is he trying to climb Jason the wall yet?
Shoot.
Is he trying to climb the wall?
The peg wall? Most ridiculous. Because, like, let's be honest. The most ridiculous way to get your coach on your side ever. Loudon, you can't cut the weight. You're going to die. Yeah. Hey, I climbed up the peg wall. What do you say now? Holy shit, nobody's ever done it. Fine, let's roll the dice with your life. Just because.
Just because.
Never mind that you're passing out and bleeding out of your nose every day.
Yeah.
Such a great movie. I love that
fantastic.
Movie.
Fantastic.
You know, that's how I gave Colucci his nickname, Cooch. It's from the guy from that movie. And Cooch in that movie plays Jake Ryan in 16 Candles.
Oh, yes. There's your
John Hughes tie-in.
Your connection. Mm-hmm.
You're very welcome.
All right. Well, we'll wrap it.
We've got to wrap it on that note. That's it.
Ladies and gentlemen.
There it is. Honor Bound. Yes. April 3rd. Please get your tickets now.
Absolutely.
Take us home, Quinn.
For Diamond Dave Damone, my rushing tag team partner, can't wait to get through the spots. For the one and only Ben McCoy, go see him do some wrestling, taking on RVD. You guys are going to love it. Diamond Dave's going to do all the hard work and drop all the information in the comments in the description box. Here comes my lightning. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe, bang that bell, smash that subscribe button so you get updates on all of our great content. Because we got a lot of stuff to say for you guys. Ben, we can't thank you enough. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for giving up over an hour of your time for us jabronis. Good luck with everything you're doing. Man, I can't wait to hear how the show goes. You guys are doing a great thing. And, hey, we love you. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. We'll see you.